are live Saturday afternoon, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, for the latest revival of the Vinny V Sport Report. Only one sport this time. Thank you for tuning in. All, I believe there's 20 people you said listening right now. 22, somewhere around there. I want to thank you all for taking part of the show. We're getting to give this another try. We have attempted to do a football podcast. Well, Brian and I attempted it once in the past, about probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was a miserable failure and I quit. And then last year, I tried it again on my own. It was also a miserable failure and I quit. We're back. I am fully emotionally prepared for this to be a miserable failure, and I'll have no problem quitting. But as long as I'm here, may as well try to do a good show. We are here, of course, to discuss the Super Bowl. It is in 8 days, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Brian's phone's going nuts. Producer Brian, everyone, is in the studio as well. He's giving you all a thumbs up. If you'd like to take part in the show, we have a toll-free line in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. We can take one person at a time, so you can call in and, get a busy signal.
Actually, I hate to jump in already, Vinny.
No, go ahead.
We got two lines, everybody.
And, we have two lines!
Yeah, and they're already ringing like crazy, and you got way more than 20 people. The phone number, 855-478-4478, and since people are already trying to call via Skype, the Skype line is open as well, F4W Online. So, Vinny, are you ready to take some calls?
Why don't we take a call and see what happens? Caller, go ahead.
Hello, this is Rob.
Rob, how are you doing, man? Where are you from?
I am from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Lovely town.
Oh, it's a lovely town. It's snowing and it's very cold here today, but it's going to be a little bit colder, most likely, in New York on Sunday for the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you've talked too much about it yet. I don't think so. But
I have talked about nothing yet.
Okay. Is it okay to talk about?
Oh, absolutely. How about it?
This seems like a trap game for Seattle to me. It's one of those games you have the best defense, the best offense. It seems to me, just my hunch, that Denver's going to end up winning by like 30.
Well, that would be something. The last time Seattle lost by more than two scores, it's like you have to go back 2 or 3 years. This team does not get blown out. I do like your use of the phrase trap game, because traditionally when people say trap game, that's when a team loses a game because they're looking forward to something else. And I have no idea what on earth the Seahawks could possibly be looking forward to that they would overlook the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that probably wasn't the best term, and it's a little bit different. But and maybe not even a trap for the Seahawks, just a trap for everyone in general, where we're going to be so hyped about this game being a close game or the Seattle Seahawks defense dominating the offense and it being a low-scoring affair. I see the Denver defense scoring a touchdown. I just see Russell Wilson not being ready for the big spotlight, even though he does seem like one of the few quarterbacks with a really good head on his shoulders. And he's a smart guy. I just don't think this is going to be a good time out for Seattle. And it's not a trolling attempt on you guys by any means, but the Denver offense to me just seems like this is the game they're going to be ready for, and Peyton's going to find five different receivers in the end zone.
Well, stranger things have happened, that's for sure. What's happening? Brian reached the phone and made me nervous. I'm sorry. I've completely lost my train of thought already. First caller, and it's already a miserable failure. But go ahead.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
All right, so what do you think is more likely, though? The Seattle Seahawks? Maybe the defense is just so dominating that maybe they outscore the Broncos offense?
I don't see a blowout for sure. The last time Seattle, by the way, I looked it up, the last time Seattle lost by more than one score, November 6, 2011. Lost to the Dallas Cowboys 13-23.
When's the last time they played Peyton Manning?
Preseason of last year. No, it has been a while.
I'm not going to say they're not ready for this, because I obviously think they're ready for the Broncos offense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a whole different ballgame than what they're used to. They're not playing a 2-year starting quarterback here. They're not playing Colin Kaepernick. They're playing Peyton Manning.
No,
they're playing living and breathing.
They're playing the guy who I would say, I obviously you're from Indiana, so you're unbiased entirely. But from up here in the Northwest, I can tell you that if I had one vote for the best quarterback of all time, it's Peyton Manning. So, yeah,
it's Peyton Manning.
He's very good.
I'm not even a Colts fan by any means. You just have to respect the guy. Peyton Manning's the best quarterback of all time that I've ever seen, and I've been watching for a while, even though I've never seen an Ultimate Warrior match. But I've seen Peyton Manning throw touchdowns to multiple guys who you never expect. And well, he made guys in Indianapolis that weren't any good. He's making guys in Denver that are great, but he's making them better. To me, this is a trap for the Seattle defense. I really think Peyton's going to come out with a game plan that they're not ready for.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. The one thing I will say to that, and Lord knows we have seen Peyton Manning throw touchdowns to a million guys, but what he's best at, I think, is picking the weakness in the opposing defense and just exploiting it over and over again without mercy. The Rock Alexander game against Denver in the playoffs so many years ago. But the Seattle defense has the most ridiculously deep cornerback, depth that you can imagine. So I'm not sure who the weakness is that Peyton's going to pick on. It's not Richard Sherman. It's not Byron Maxwell. Maybe Jeremy Lane, but the defense is very good. And you say Seattle hasn't played a quarterback like Manning. Obviously, that is true. But look at the defenses Peyton Manning has played. And outside of Kansas City, it's not very impressive. But we have another caller on. Why don't you put him on, Brian? Caller, go ahead. Who's this?
Fuck it.
Great. Show's fine. Caller, go ahead.
This is Ed in San Antonio.
Oh, that didn't take long. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing pretty good, Vinny. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. I have two questions. First question is, when are the Dallas Cowboys going to give up on Tony Romo? Because I think the dude absolutely sucks.
Well, he doesn't suck. Let's be fair. He's mistake prone. He does have ball security issues, that's for sure. You know, the thing with Romo, and it's magnified because he plays for Dallas. If he played for Jacksonville, he'd probably have a better public opinion of the public have a stronger, higher opinion of him. But the fact is, he's good. He is above average. He is better than most quarterbacks. He's probably overpaid. They gave him a ton of money on his last deal. But there's no other options, and you know, no one's going to trade for him. They can't cut him because of his contract. So, you know, think of the other teams, Ed, that you could be. Would you rather have Minnesota's quarterbacks, Christian Ponder and Castle and Freeman? My question. If you get rid of Romo, what do you do?
Honestly, you're probably right about that, because there's not really that many, like, great quarterbacks. There's just a bunch of average ones.
There are way more quarterbacks out there, way more teams out there than quarterbacks available.
Yeah, that's very true. My second question regarding a quarterback is Tim Tebow done, and what happened? He didn't have the greatest stats, but when he was in Denver, he proved to be that he was a winner. And since they cut him, he's just been cut and just seems to drop off the face of the earth. I mean, is he done, or what's the deal with Tebow?
Tebow has taken a deal to be a commentator on ESPN's College Football Network. He insists that he has not given up on his dreams of playing pro football. And in fact, before one of the playoff games, ESPN did like a 5-minute infomercial about how great he was, and Trent Dilfer was coaching him up and how awesome he was going to be someday. It was very strange. It was a very strange thing for ESPN to do, to promote at that point, an unemployed football player. As for Tebow himself, I know he's a nice guy. This isn't even like a guessing. Anyone you ever talk to who's been around him knows he's a nice guy. But he's really just not a very good NFL player, and never was. And yes, he had a bunch of very close, very exciting wins. But considering what the team has done since they got rid of him, he was pretty clearly holding them back. They won in spite of Tim Tebow. So that's it, man. And the Jets figured that out. They traded for him, then realized he sucked, and then cut him. Patriots brought him in, realized he sucked, and then cut him. Nobody else wants to touch him. I don't know what to tell you. The evidence here is strong. If one team thought he could do a good job, they would bring him in. None of them do.
Yeah, like, I was surprised when the Cowboys brought in the guy from Seattle to be, like, Romo got hurt, to be the backup quarterback. It's like, why did they bring him? He's been retired for years. Why didn't they try Tebow? But I guess
he had been retired.
My question about
John Kitna had been retired for a year. He had been on the team less than 12 months prior, and he was available. And he called them and said, "Hey guys, I can hold your clipboard for you." And they said, "Okay." And he came in, and that was that. Now he's going back to being a high school teacher again. Cool. All right, Ed. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That was Ed. Can't have a show without Ed. Lord knows. Another caller already? I guess we'll take it. Caller, how you doing? Who is this? Where you from?
Is this Vincent Bernhardt?
It is, yes.
Wow. This is Vincent Bernhardt.
Yes, it is. Who's this?
Oh, I'm John from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm your biggest mark, man. I'm your biggest fan, man. I've been a big fan of yours, man.
Wow.
Since your days at ESPN, since I read your stuff at ESPN, you got me back to love and wrestling. And I'm a big fan of yours, man.
Wow, well, that's fantastic. I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say.
But no, because you are the heart of the Brian Benny Show, man. You are appreciably undervalued by Brian Alvarez.
Well, that's obviously true.
I love you, man. Not in that kind of weird way, but I just love your enthusiasm, man. You are the heart.
My enthusiasm.
Man, I'm marking out right now, man. I am marking out.
That's cool. Are you going to watch
this? I'm sorry, man. I got a question. Why is this a two-point? Well, I understand that the cold weather effect of this game is strange, but why is it a 2.5? Basically, giving Denver a home field advantage when, in fact, that Peyton Manning has never had a history of performing well in cold weather games. I have seen him play in the history. And yes, this lad, the AFC was the only time that I've seen him. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
The AFC was the only time that this AFC championship was the only time that I've seen him play with a certain confidence that I haven't seen him play in the
cold
playoffs.
Yeah.
But this. The secondary of Seattle, which you have seen, I know you've seen a lot of, is basically with Shredder. And no offense, they don't have a good running game. They have one, but not a great running game to deal with the Seattle defense.
You mean Denver? Denver, you're saying Denver's offense can't run?
I'd say not as well as Seattle. If I had a choice between those two of the cold weather, I'm saying that Seattle has the finesse of being a cold weather team, even though it's Denver is colder than Seattle. But if I compare the two, what do you think?
Well, I do want to thank you for the call and thank you for all those kind of things you had to say. You know, it's funny when the Seahawks won the NFC championship game to cement their Super Bowl berth, and Denver had won earlier in that afternoon. Seattle actually opened as a slight favorite, like a 1 or 1.5 point favorite. And then very quickly, all the money came in on Denver, and Denver is, last I checked, like you say, I think they're a 2-point favorite right now. And my thinking is, frankly, that it's the Super Bowl. A lot of casual bettors, a lot of people who are football fans for one day a year are throwing money around. And for obvious reasons, Peyton Manning has a higher profile than anyone on the Seattle team. So I think a lot of money is just going that way for that reason. I don't have a problem with people who think Denver's going to win. It's Peyton Manning, and betting on Peyton Manning is never a bad idea. His struggles in the postseason are overblown. His struggles in cold weather are also overblown. If you look, go to footballoutsiders.com. Scott Kaxmar wrote a big bit about playoff quarterbacks and how, frankly, if you compare what Peyton's done in the regular season to what he has done in the playoffs and compare that to other quarterbacks, he's actually really, really good in the postseason. Just the results have not always been there because it is a team sport. So callers have finally slowed down. I assume that means everyone has stopped listening. Although, as Brian points out, I should also plug the number. The number is 855-478-4478. That's 855-478-4478. That is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada.
I'd like to add that the guy that called and pranked you decided it would be a bright idea to do it on Skype, and he's been permanently blocked.
Excellent.
So don't do that, you idiots.
Yeah. All right. Was that a thumbs up? There's a thumbs up. We have a caller. Let's go to the caller. Caller, who is this? Where are you from?
Hey, it's Patrick from Rochester, New York.
Patrick from Rochester. What's up, man?
And I bet, hey, a long-time struggling, sad Washington Redskins fan. We got $30 million under the cap this year. How do you think we're going to screw it up?
Well, there's so many options.
Okay, let's start with the defense. Let's see. I'm not worried about the running back situation. Not too worried about the quarterback.
No.
Wide receivers, Garcon's good. Hankerson shows potential as number two, but his hands really aren't there. I'm more worried about the defense because our defense was so atrocious this year. And with Brian Arakpo possibly leaving a free agency, and then you got London Fletcher retiring.
Yeah.
What defensive players are on, for as far as a free agency, that you think would help Washington?
Well, I won't lie. It's a little early for me in the process of thinking about that. I will say you're right. They don't need to worry about RG3. He'll be fine, everyone. He'll be fine. We'll see what Jay Gruden can do as a coach. I wasn't terribly impressed with his game plans in Cincinnati. But, you know, everyone gets a clean slate, we'll say.
Yeah, cause I was kind of surprised when they signed Jay Gruden. I thought it was seen kind of fast. It kind of seemed like the situation when... I mean, he's better than Jim Zorn was, because that was like out of left field, and I don't think anybody understood that signing after Coach Gibbs kind of abruptly left a couple years ago. But what I find frustrating as a Redskins fan is, I mean, like, I live in like an hour from Buffalo, so I'm really used to ineptitude with the Buffalo Bills.
I was going to say, is there any good football around you?
No, it's actually hockey country. I'm really actually a really, really huge hockey fan.
All right.
I remember the Bills were in the Super Bowls, you know, those four Super Bowls, and those were like really incredible fun years. I'm 34, so I was probably 10, 11, 12. But for some reason, I always grew up as a Redskins fan. It's frustrating. Washington, they every 4 or 5 years, we get a glimpse of the playoffs, get triumphantly, you know, beaten fairly quickly in the first round, and then, you know, we start all over again because Daniel Snyder can't. Once we won the Super Bowl every year, it's like, he's like Steinbrenner, but without the talent to pick talent.
That's actually not a bad comparison. Well, I'll thank you for the call. The one thing about Washington, I do think Griffin will be fine. Don't worry about Griffin. He's too talented and too good to screw that up. They need a ton of help on defense all over the place. They need an offensive lineman. And Garcon had an okay year. Actually, by the raw numbers, he had a very good year. But I actually did a thing shortly after the season ended looking at which players had faced the easiest schedules. And when I looked at wide receivers, something like four of the top 11 receivers with easy schedules were all on Washington. So they played a lot of very, very bad secondaries that made the receivers look a lot better than they are. So I'm afraid the short answer is they need help everywhere. And that's unfortunate because, of course, they're still paying the price for Griffin after that trade. And that number two pick that would be theirs is instead going to be the Rams, except all signs are that they're going to trade that pick away too. Oh, we have another caller, so that makes things easier for me. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hey, what up, Benny? This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas. How are you?
I'm good, Danny. How are you doing?
Good. I just want to say, like, this Super Bowl is the first time in a long time that, you know, the two best teams in each conference compete, because usually, like, last couple years have been, like, the wild card teams have been getting to the Super Bowl. So it's good having the two best teams square off, you know?
You know, I'm actually glad you brought that up. I told Brian when we started I had no plan. That was kind of a fib. If no one called, that was going to be my opening speech about how great it was to have the two best teams be in the Super Bowl. Because going back, you really got to go all the way back to like 2001 when the Patriots beat the Rams. And they were the underdog Patriots. They won, I think, 10 or 11 games that year. And no one thought they would win. They pulled off the big upset. And it was really cute. And everyone had a good time. And then for the next decade, it's just been a parade of mediocre Super Bowl teams. And you had that 9-7 Cardinals team that got to the Super Bowl and lost. And you had the Giants both years, 10-win team, 9-win team. And the 9-win team actually gave up more points than they scored in the regular season. It was a bad football team that got hot. Last year's Ravens were a mediocre team that sneaked in and then got hot in the playoffs. It's been that way for most of this century, actually. And it's I agree with you. It is so refreshing to have two teams that have spent the past 4 months blazing a trail through the NFL, embarrassing and humiliating all who stepped in their path, and now they're going to collide in an epic matchup. And whoever wins is actually going to be a great Super Bowl team. And that is refreshing. That is a nice change.
Yeah, I agree with you. But the only thing is, big issue is that when you have these two great teams, like, you really want to have a real, like, neutral site where you have that talent expressed. But with the Super Bowl being in New York, you know, you're talking about the big superstorm coming down that could put a damper, you know, on you know, the game. Like, if, like, for similar, like, earlier in this year when Detroit played Philadelphia, you know.
It was awesome,
but it was a joke. Like, if you had, like, 100 million people watching this, you know, Marshawn Lynch, you know, slipping and sliding and falling and, you know, snaps going, like, over quarterback's head. Like, how's that, you know, for the best teams, that just puts a handicap on how good these teams were all year.
If I can jump in and ask a question, whose bright idea was Super Bowl early February, New York? This sounds like a disaster, and I know nothing about football.
Dollars, it's all about the money, dude.
Yes, it was. The Super Bowl is in New York because New York said, we will build a big giant football palace if you have a Super Bowl here. And the league said, okay. And that's what it comes down to. So, Well, Danny, I do want to thank you for your call. I think that if there is rough weather, if there is heavy snowfall, if there is high wind, I think for most people watching, it's going to add to the excitement. It's going to be more interesting. It's going to be more entertaining. And people are going to be happy with it. And the theory is a cold weather game would favor Seattle. The thing about weather is, it's not so much the cold. Cold weather mostly affects the kickers because the ball gets hard and it's like kicking a rock. And it's not even so much slippery conditions because, yeah, you get a couple of drops for both teams. But usually that's balanced out because defenders can fall down too. And slippery conditions actually favor the offense because they can act on the wet surface and the defenders have to react. The big thing that kills offense in bad weather is wind. High wind can absolutely cripple a quarterback's passing game. And so that's the one you really got to watch out for. If it's a windy day, that favors Seattle in a big way. Brian, you give me a signal, right? Yes, caller. Let's go to the call. Let's go to the phones. Caller, who is this and where are you from? Caller is listening to our own show.
Frank, you're on the air.
Oh. Frank? You're doing well. Doing well. Caller,
hey,
who is this and where are you from?
Hey, Vinny. Hey, how you doing? It's Billy Youssef from San Diego.
I know, Billy. How are you, man?
All right. How's it going?
Good.
Glad to hear you on the show here. Got a quick question. It's probably, they've already been talking about this a whole bunch as of late, and sure, it's going to keep coming up throughout the week. What, in your opinion, is Peyton Manning's legacy here if he doesn't win it this year, especially with, you know, the unbelievable year he had with the record passing yards and touchdowns, and does this really this really tarnish him? You know, I think there's always going to be that thing, and people will say, me being from New York, being a big Giants fan, you know, there's going to be a little part that as great as Peyton is, as he's so much better than his brother. I'll fully admit that his brother's still going to have the two rings to his one. And having beaten Brady twice in the Super Bowl, what do you think would be the consensus on his legacy if he can't pull it off again this year?
Well, I mentioned earlier, I would already say that I would rank Peyton on top of everyone, win or lose this football game. I know that's my opinion, and a lot of people don't agree with that, and a lot of people are going to put, frankly, more emphasis on this than they should, because at the end of the day, it's one game for a guy who has played hundreds, most of them very well. So, I figured out when in the conference championship that as long as San Francisco lost, I would be happy with a Super Bowl result because either my home team would win or a great underrated quarterback would get another ring, and that's kind of the way I look at it. And I feel the same way about Brady. I can't believe how much crap he takes. You know, it used to be they always said, you know, he had a great career but he never got a ring, and then it became now. I don't know if this is just the 24-hour media or the internet or what, but now it's like he had a great career, but he hasn't won a ring in a while.
In a while. Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know how hard that is? You know how most people don't do that? So, yeah, there's a certain element of the sports media and the sports fan base, and they will tell you that if Peyton Manning loses the Super Bowl, then he sucks. And I recommend you stop mm-hmm. talking to those people immediately.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you look at a guy like Marino, who had an unbelievable career, never had a ring, and I don't think anyone, people will bring that up, but at the same time, people always say that he was a great, great quarterback, and, he made it to the Hall of Fame and everything else. So, and like you said, Manning's already got the one, but I certainly think giving him the second one, or him getting the second one, will certainly quiet all of the folks that, doubt him and say what they say about him. So, anyway, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you for the call, Billy. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think an even better example than Manning, a better example than Marino would be Warren Moon. And real quick, I'll plug the number here, 855-478-4478, toll-free U.S. and Canada if you want to join in. Warren Moon never won a Super Bowl. Warren Moon never played in a Super Bowl. Warren Moon only reached one conference championship game. He never came close, but everyone knew he was great, and he got into the Hall of Fame right away, which actually surprised me at the time. So, it can be done. People will overrate the importance of this one game in Manning's career, but that's going to happen win or lose anyway. So, there you go. We have another caller on the phone. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Ryan from Fort Wayne.
Ryan from Fort Wayne. There's two Fort Wayne callers in the show. I believe it is.
Okay.
All right. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a screener.
No, we don't have a screener. We're not that professional.
Okay. So anyway, hi guys.
Hello.
I'm a Broncos fan, and the kind of the media, they're taking up the number one offense versus number one defense thing. It's like me as a Broncos fan, I was really happy with the Seattle one, just because I would think that even though Seattle's a great defense, that Denver is going to still score points just through Manning's passing, and Wilson, I don't know. He can make a very good play, like a few plays good here and a few plays good there, but he's like, over the course of a whole game, he just seems really inconsistent to me.
That's accurate.
So I don't know. I was just kind of wondering how you see that.
No, he is very consistent. Has been for most of this year. And first half of the year, his offensive line was really beat up. He was missing three starters on a line that wasn't that good to begin with. And so I gave him a pass then. And then the lineman came back, and he was really good in November. And then you look at most of December and the playoff games, and no, you're right. He has been very inconsistent. And it's a boom or bust strategy, because what he does best is avoid the pass rush, give his receivers time to get up and down the field and hit a big play. And if he can avoid turnovers and hit two or three big plays, that's usually enough to win. Against San Francisco, he didn't even avoid the turnovers. The very first play, he said, here's the football. And they still were able to come back and win. So there's... I don't know what's been up with him lately. He's looked hesitant. He's looked unsure of himself. He's looked confused at times. But he has, again, through all of it, here they are in the Super Bowl, and he's managed to hit big plays repeatedly in the games where he needs to. Like I say, it's two or three big plays that makes the difference for him. And the other fact that I looked up, he's been in four playoff games in his career. In three of those games, he has trailed at halftime. And in all three of those games, he has led his team to take the lead in the second half. So he's still a guy who he's found a way to make plays when he has to. And I know that's a horrible cliche, but it's true in his case. So if he can avoid turnovers, and he's playing a defense much worse than what he played this week, and much worse than what he played most of the year. Now that he survived the gauntlet of the NFC West, those front sevens in St. Louis and Arizona and San Francisco, those bloodthirsty monsters trying to kill you. He's come through that and he's alive. So he's been through the fire, and now things are going to get easier for him against Denver.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Thanks. I appreciate that. We have another caller on the phone. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hey, Vinny. It's Bobby from New Jersey.
For a second, I thought Ed was calling back. Bobby from New Jersey, how are you?
What's going on, man? A couple questions about my Philadelphia Eagles. Number one, do you think Chip Kelly should win the Coach of the Year for this year? I thought he did a tremendous job. Tough competition with Belichick, of course, doing pretty much a lot of stuff without nothing on offense. And number two, what do you think the Eagles should draft in the upcoming NFL draft? Should they go defense, or do you think that Chip is going to go offense to get another weapon?
Well, I would also, first of all, on the coach of the year thing, the other guy who I think deserves a lot of credit is Ron Rivera, who managed to get Carolina to live up to their potential for a while. And that roster, by the way, that still has some holes. That secondary is much better than I thought they would be. But their wide receivers are basically the crippled corpse of Steve Smith and some guys. So he managed to still win games with that crew. So I think he deserves a lot of credit as well. As far as what the Eagles need, you know, they're in a position they could almost just, they can just pick whoever's best. They need a lot of defense, but that offense is going to, because of the system they run and the high speed and the, you know, more tempo means more plays, means more injuries. And so they're going to need weapons on offense too. Based on what he did at Oregon, I don't think they will ever not have a lot of good running backs. I realize they have a lot of good running backs now, but if there's a playmaker on the board, I can see Chip grabbing a running back at any time.
Mm-hmm.
He always likes to use multiple tight end sets, so that's always an option. And when you run the ball like they do, offensive linemen are always good, and they also need defense. So the truth is, it's wide open for them. They won't take a quarterback. I'm confident in that.
Thank God. Because yeah. Foles proved everybody wrong, even Chip. I know going into the season,
obviously, yeah.
Chip wasn't really a fan of Foles. He was definitely going with Vic, and then, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, a message from up above that Vic finally got injured and got him in there because he had an outstanding season too, Foles.
He really did. Well, I want to thank you for the call. Kind of cut him off there. Oh, well, thought he was done. Yeah, you know, Nick Foles obviously won't be doing 25-2 touchdown interception ratio, whatever it was. It was insane. And there'll be a bit of a bounce back year for him probably just because teams are finally going to have scouting film on him and they'll be able to figure out his tendencies. But no, they are set there and probably the favorites to win that division next year. But we already have another caller. So let's go to the phones again. Caller, who is this and where are you from? Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Michael, you're on the air.
Fight.
Are these all from Skype?
Skype is shut off for the day.
All right, Skype is done. We're done with Skype. It was a nice try, though. We have another caller on the telephones. Caller, who is this and where are you from? Is there a caller on the phone? Speak.
Caller, you are on the air.
Hang up. All right, done. See, I like this. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
This is Drew in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How you doing, Vinny?
Drew, you're calling to be a smooth-running professional operation, let me tell you.
That sounds great, man. I have a question and a comment about the Dallas Cowboys. I believe Mr. in San Antonio earlier referred to John Kitna and that being a bad decision. Generally, I don't agree with anything Jerry Jones does, but I was okay with John Kitna because he is a man of the Lord. A few years back, the hand of God healed a concussion, if you recall. So anything the Dallas Cowboys can get and God on their side, I'm fine with. Now,
well, they usually have Jerry Jones on the side, so it's nice to have someone from the other side of the coin. Yes.
That is correct. The mortal battle between God and Satan is being played out with the Dallas Cowboys. What do they need to do to get Monty Kiffin's defense to work in Dallas? That was a historically terrible defense. I don't have any faith that Jerry Jones can fix it. And it seemed like he came in and Kiffin wanted to shove a square peg in a round hole and run his defense. Has the game passed him by?
I don't think it's the game passing him by. I think his scheme works. I think your comment about the square peg and round hole is a good one. That team needs safeties. They've needed safeties for years. They needed safeties before they got Monty Kiffin. And then when they went to his, the zone heavy scheme, if you have bad safeties and the bad safeties are your last line of defense against the deep pass, you're going to give up a lot of deep passes. So I thought they needed safeties for years. They've ignored that position entirely, going with scrap heap free agents and that kind of thing. So that probably that's should be their top priority in the draft. So
yeah, it pained me to see Mo Claiborne not do so well too. Me being an LSU fan,
it's was his second year, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Quarterbacks usually struggle early in their careers. They're usually, you know, pretty crummy as rookies, and it usually takes them 3 or 4 years to really figure it out. So have faith in Mo. But I do want to thank you for the call. That was a good one. Got a text here from Brian. All right.
That's why I texted you so surreptitious.
I thought that would spoil the flow of what we had going. So questions on, we have questions on Twitter. I can also plug the number. Phone number 855-478-4478. Toll free U.S. and Canada if you want to call. We've got a caller on the line, so let's go right to it. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hey, Vinny. This is Josh in Bloomington.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Where's Bloomington?
First-time caller. Say again?
Bloomington is Minnesota?
No, Bloomington, Illinois.
Aha! Brian lied to me. All right, Bloomington, Illinois. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. First of all, I want to say that I thought that you were remiss in not letting Brian and Granny know that Richard Sherman was being sarcastic in his behavior towards the Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got him bisoned. I mean, this guy is a bigger goon than Ogie Oglethorpe. But with that being said, I went from hating the guy to loving the guy after that interview that he had with Aaron Andrews.
Well, I don't think I think I see what you're getting at. Sarcastic isn't the word. I think he was legitimately angry at Michael Crabtree because that's the kind of guy he is. He gets angry at the world, and that motivates him to do well. There's a guy named Ben Muth who also writes for Football Outsiders and coincidentally with this site has trained with Lance Storm for wrestling. He actually played with Sherman at Stanford, and he basically said that, yeah, this is the kind of guy he is. He plays at his best when he has someone to antagonize, basically. And there's a million things to look at it. There's a million reasons to think Richard Sherman is actually a very good human being, a good and great man and a role model to everyone. And about 4 or 5 days a year when he goes out there to pick fights, that's what it comes down to. So he's already said, by the way, that someone asked him if he was going to say anything about the Broncos to try to get himself fired up. And he said something along the lines of, "You don't want to try to get inside Peyton Manning's head. You'll get lost in there." So he knows. He picks his battles.
Absolutely. I had a question about college football rather than the Super Bowl.
Well, you can try. I probably won't know it, but all right.
Taking a look at the Big 12, it looks like their influence is decreasing. Northern Illinois' visibility is increasing. What do you think the chances are that with all the realignment that's going on, that they're going to make that move there for the Big 12 to try to penetrate that Chicago market and that Big 10 network that's making the Big 10 all that money right now? And I'll take the answer offline.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. I got no idea. I lost my ESPN job last summer writing about college football, and as soon as they stopped paying me, I stopped paying attention. So I guess go Illini. But in the meantime, we have another caller. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Yeah, this is Tony from Pennsylvania.
A lot of East Coasters. Tony, how you doing?
Good, good. I did want to get your opinion on something. If you've already talked about it, because I haven't listened to the show, I just saw you were doing it just now.
Perfect.
Just let me know. But yeah, I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and I absolutely hate Jason Garrett. I've never been sold on him. Jerry Jones has been grooming him to be his head coach, you know, for several years before he got the position, and seems to be dead set on him, regardless of the fact that he's been mediocre at best, in my opinion. Do you see anything in Jason Garrett? And or just basically, what do you think of Jason Garrett as a head coach?
Serious game planning and play calling issues. I know a lot of it. What was the game they had? It was a Philadelphia where they had a big lead and then just refused to run.
I think that was Washington, I believe.
Washington, yeah. Yeah, it was bizarre. They had like a something. They were up like 14 or 17 at halftime and called like 3 runs in the second half. It was insane. And I know a lot of it, they said afterwards, it was they had a lot of package plays that could have been run or pass at the line. But you just need to, you know, as a coach, it's still your job to tell your quarterback, run the damn ball once in a while. So, yeah, he's got some issues there. It's weird. Evaluating head coaches is very, very hard. Unless they just completely crap the bed and have a revolt in their hands like Greg Schiano in Tampa Bay. So as long as that's not happening, if the owner likes him, I'm afraid he's going to be there for a while. And that's the best I can do for you.
Unfortunate. He'll always be, in my heart, he'll always be the guy that iced his own kicker.
There's that too. There's that too.
It always seems like this major miscommunication and just disaster, you know, every week in, week out. And it seems to me, it comes from the guy that's running the machine. I mean, that's my opinion. But
well, yeah, but that guy is Jerry. So I do want to thank you for the call. Wish I had better news for you. I'm going to answer a couple of questions on Twitter here just because I can. It's my show. Paul Philbin asks, what do you think about there being three NFL games in the UK next season? Those games seem to be doing successful. They seem to be, you know, selling out, and obviously the NFL wants to expand there at some point. That's going to be really the real test. Is their long-term goal is to somehow get a team in London and have that team play in 16 games against teams in the U.S. And how that'll work out is, you know, I would imagine it'd be a thing where they play like four games at home and then have a they have a base in the U.S. and they play four games over there for a while, that kind of thing. We should plug the hashtag if you want to communicate on Twitter. Ask questions. It's hashtag F4WLive.com. I have been going doing the show for 40 minutes, and I said .com, didn't I?
Just hashtag F4WLive.
What did I say?
.com.
That was stupid.
Why did .com.
Don't say that. Hashtag F4WLive.com. Question from Zach.
No.com.
Did I say it again?
Yes. Hashtag F4WLive, everybody.
Everyone do what Brian says and don't listen to me. Wow. It's not like I haven't been... Anyway. Zach asks, compare the tip by Sherman to Edgar's double. I was 9 at the time, so I can't fairly say which was bigger at the time. It's definitely the biggest play since Edgar's double. For those of you who don't remember, because I did vow to talk about one sport, in 1995 in the American League playoffs, the Mariners were down by a run, and then Edgar Martinez had a double, and suddenly they had won the game and were moving on in the playoffs. So the difference between the two is this one advanced the team to the championship game, which is good. Edgar's double happened a month before the election to build a new stadium, and if he doesn't hit that double and the Yankees win that game, there's a fairly good chance the Mariners are in Tampa or something right now. So I'm afraid Edgar's double is still a bigger play, but here we have another caller on the line. Caller, who is this, and where are you from? .com.
Hey, this is the Scarlet Lover from Colorado Springs.
I'm sorry, the Scarlet what?
Lover.
The Scarlet Lover from Colorado Springs. We're off to a great start. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, just a quick question real quick. Do you think the Cowboys are next year that Jerry Jones is gone?
Your phone broke up. I'm going to give you one more try to get that out. You still there? All right. Well, sorry, man. Get a landline. Don't know what to tell you. Guy on Twitter wants to know if I watched darts. No. So we have a dart fan. We have an Eagles fan who hopes they replace Nick Foles. With what? What? I know he's gonna come back to Earth to a degree, but I love everyone who thinks their team can do better at quarterback is amazing to me. Plug the number, since I have not done that in a while, 855-478-4478, toll-free U.S. and Canada. Two lines for people who want to call in. And, of course, you can communicate with the hashtag F4WLive. That's it. All right. AC asks, what the hell can the Packers do to improve their defense? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I got it right for once. Yeah, the Packers are another team that needs a lot of help, and the good news is they have Aaron Rodgers in the prime of his career. I mentioned earlier that Peyton Manning's the best of all time. Aaron Rodgers is the best right now, so they have years to figure that out. Here we have another caller on the line. Caller, who is this, and where are you from? Caller! Speak! All right. Caller, who is this, and where are you from?
Hey, it's John from D.C.
John, how are you?
How's it going? Another long-suffering Redskins fan, but less said about that, the better. I was going to ask you, it sounds like you don't have much respect for the Denver defense, or don't think it's quite as good as it looked.
Looked when?
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're saying that the Seattle is going to play a much weaker defense in this game than they have in a long time in the NFC.
They're going to be much worse than the Niners. They're going to be probably worse than the Saints. They're going to be worse than the Rams, worse than the Cardinals, worse than the Panthers.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think the key to this game, I would think, on that side is if Denver can at least slow down Lynch and force Seattle into third and longs and make Russell Wilson beat him with his arms as opposed to with his legs, I would think that's probably the key to the game. So what do you think the odds of that are happening?
Easier said than done. You know, obviously, you're right in that if they can stop Marshawn, their odds go. But like I say, the whole thing for Seattle is their strategy and their philosophy is we don't need to score every drive. We need to hit a couple of big plays and not get any turnovers, and if we do that, we'll win.
If they say keep it close, I assume, at that point, they fall pretty far behind, they'd be in trouble there.
Yeah, but they're not going to – they have – well, I shouldn't say they're not. They could always fall behind. They have not fallen behind – they have not lost a game by more than 7 points, and since – I looked it up earlier, it was like 2011. Yeah. Anyway, Wilson, Yes, their idea is to, if the idea is that if you get way ahead of Wilson, he can't come back, then the evidence would say that's not true. I pointed this out earlier. He has been in four playoff games in his career. In three of those games, he has fallen, he has trailed at halftime, and all three games, he has come back to take the lead in the second half. You go back to
one of them.
What's that?
I was at the Redskins-Seattle game last year. It was a disaster, so I remember.
Well, that's the regular season. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was a playoff game.
That was a playoff. That was when like, we left Griffin out there until his leg blew up.
Yeah.
That was unpleasant to watch.
Yeah, and you go back to last year also, just the regular season. Chicago's defense in 2012 was the best defense in the league, and Russell led a 98-yard come-from-behind touchdown drive and forced overtime, went on to win. So, no, and he has not looked that good in the past month or so. He's had some kind of issues. I don't know what, but... Russell can make plays if he has to.
I was thinking last week, I mean, it's not the same competition, but I thought that Denver did a pretty good job with Garrett Blunt just kind of shut down the New England running game, which had run all over the Colts, which may not be saying very much. But if they could do some of that this week, they'd have a far better chance than if they, because I think if a bunch of third and shorts, Russell Wilson will kill them. Third and longs, Denver's got a shot.
That's probably pretty accurate, actually. Well, I want to thank you for the call.
Oh, sure.
That was a good one. I do want to point out here, as far as the Denver defense, 22nd in points allowed. And before you say that they, that's because their offense is scoring points willy-nilly. Anyway, Denver's offense tends to run ball control drives. They get fewer possessions per game than you would think. Denver's defense has faced 200 drives this year. That's actually a little more than the average of 186, which just surprises me. But yeah, Denver's defense, like I say, that's the worst defense that Seattle has played in several weeks. We got a caller? No callers. Okay, let's go back to Twitter then. Keith asks, can we get your thoughts on Wisenhunt with the Titans or Wisenhunt with the Titans? Can they break 500 now? Titans are one of those teams that's hard for me to get a grasp on. I have been a big... not believer in Jake Locker going back to his days at college. And of course I live in Seattle. I watched him play at Washington. I always thought he was overhyped and I never understood why. I was flabbergasted when they picked him in the first round. And then his early struggles in his career did not surprise me. And I actually thought he looked a lot better this year before he got hurt. So, you know, as with most teams, it always comes down to the quarterback. And if he has success with Locker like he has had with the quarterbacks in the past, then they will be okay. And if not, then they'll be looking up at the Colts every year. Now we have another caller on the line. Caller, who is this, and where are you from?
This is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Daniel from, I'm sorry, Greensville?
Greensboro.
Yes, of course, Greensboro.
Yeah. I got two questions for you about the Carolina Panthers. What do you see them doing? Do you see them making a run next year, or what do you see them doing in the draft?
Well, I want to thank you for the call. Those are pretty straightforward questions. Will they make a run next year? Yes. They won that division. That's not a fluke. They need help at wide receiver pretty bad. They could use a boost in the offensive line. The secondary needs some work, but you know, they were two games in the Super Bowl. Still should be the best in the division, and they still have a one-of-a-kind quarterback who, by the way, is only in his fourth year. So, no, things are looking very, very up in Carolina.
Yeah, their secondary, I think they're kind of caught up to them in the San Francisco game. It was crazy. It was bad.
I'm afraid so.
Sorry. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Sorry.
I thought he said he had two questions. Sorry.
Oh, he may have. Brian flashed me a sign. I'm not good at this, so when I'm talking to a guy and...
Well, we didn't have time to do a lot of prep, but for everybody listening who can't see... This means one caller.
Yes.
This means two callers.
I see.
This means no callers.
Got it. Okay. What does this mean then? You were doing this.
One more question.
Got it. All right. So apologize to our fan there in Carolina who I maybe hung out up in for no reason. Danny on Twitter asks a great question. Thoughts on the NFL having a third place game? Similar to what happens with soccer or the World Cup in the Olympics. Seems like money. I agree with this 1,000%. The Pro Bowl is either tonight or tomorrow. I don't know because I don't care. No one watches the Pro Bowl. It's a waste of time. But if there was a third place game between New England and San Francisco, don't tell me you wouldn't watch that. Don't tell me you wouldn't tune into that to see them fight for a bronze medal. That would be awesome. So I think that's a hell of an idea. Brian asks, thoughts on eliminating the extra point? Probably a good idea. I've seen various proposals about what they might do. The two I like, if you first of all, the simplest one, if you just eliminate kicking for 1 point and forced teams to try and run or pass for two, that would make sense to me. The other one, I think they should take a cue from, it's either rugby or Aussie rules football or both, but the player who scores the touchdown must then kick his own conversion. That's money. That's entertainment right there. You get some 260-pound fullback trying to kick an extra point. That'd be great times. Let's plug the phone line while we are here. Probably going to go about 10 more minutes, right, Brian? All right. Brian shrugged. Phone number is 855-478-4478. That is toll-free U.S. and Canada. 855-478-4478. Call in. Join the fun. You can also join us on Twitter via hashtag F4WLive. There are two callers on the line via Brian's hand gestures. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hey, Vinny, this is Miguel from Rancho Cordova.
Miguel from Rancho Cordova. That'd be California?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Hey, I have a question here as a continuously disappointed football fan, and that's me being an Oakland Raider fan. This is the year we finally don't have a old, demented man drafting our picks, and we have a lot of money after pretty much, you know, disembodying our whole roster the past couple of years. My question is, where do you think they go from here as far as, is there two guys you can realistically see they sign in the free agency pool, and who do you think they draft with the number 5th pick?
Well, we mentioned earlier some of our coach of the year candidates, guys like Belichick and Kelly and Rivera. And in all honesty, I think Dennis Allen did a hell of a job this year in Oakland as well. He managed to win either 4 games or 5 games with what is pretty clearly the worst roster in the league. He was outgunned every single week over and over again and found a way to win 1 out of 4, which is pretty remarkable. They were my pick before the year. As you know, they have had to escape salary cap hell because they were run by a Nosferatu, basically. The undead were running the team and not doing it very well. And it was something like 1/3 of their money was spent on players who were no longer on the team. Just one giant roster purge. And when I heard after the year that there were rumors that Dennis Allen's job might be in trouble, I laughed out loud. They knew they were not going to win any games. So he was coaching with one hand tied behind his back, basically. As far as where they go from here, it's like every other team. It starts with the quarterback. Do you have faith in Terrell Pryor?
You know, I don't. But the thing is, I also don't have faith in any other guy that we could draft at quarterback at number 5. I mean, call me crazy, but I'm not sold on Johnny Football. I mean, I don't think he will be there, but if he falls to us, I think we take Jadeveon Clowney and see if we can, play the odds and get someone in the 2nd round maybe for quarterback.
You're not getting Clowney at 5, that's for sure.
Whoa.
Yeah, he'll be gone by 5 for sure. I don't know exactly where. Obviously, if I knew, I'd be running a team. But point being, is it the devil you know or the devil you don't know? There's no easy question. So they've got all kinds of problems. Their best offensive players are the fullbacks, and that's never good. And their defense is made up of the ultimate Frankenstein defense of discarded parts from other teams. So they need help everywhere. I do want to thank you for the question. That was a good one. And wish you luck cheering for Oakland this year because, dark days may still be ahead. But in the meantime, we have another caller on the line. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York.
Chris, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. My question is on Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl, there'll be some in the media saying how he should retire a champion. But if his examination is tough, do you think it's possible he can last long enough to fulfill the remaining 3 years of his contract and possibly win a few more titles?
Well, I do want to thank you for the call. I am going to say goodbye because I'm sure you're a nice guy, but your phone blows. Peyton Manning has actually talked openly about how he knows the phrase he used was he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. He's been doing this for a long time. He has been through 4 surgeries on his neck, which is a bad thing for a man who gets tackled for a living, although, it's not like he gets tackled a lot. I noticed even in the win over New England, his decision making as always is an A+, his accuracy as always was an A+, but his arm strength has plummeted. He does not have the same zip on the ball that he used to, or that most quarterbacks do. He is, I believe he's 38 now, 38 or 37. The number of quarterbacks who play well into their 40s is very, very short. We'll have to see, you know, if his body's holding up. Clearly, he's not washed up now. He's doing very well in 2013, and there's no reason to think that he can't do well in 2014. But, you know, it's a ticking clock, and there's not many ticks left in that clock. Let's go search Twitter for a few more questions. You can join the conversation at hashtag F4WLive, or you can call us toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. Brent asks, being in upstate South Carolina, I am torn between the Panthers and the Falcons. Which quarterback do you view having the better long-term career, Newton or Ryan? It's a fine question. Ryan's really, really good, and I don't think people realize how good he is. He was throwing to nobody at the end of the year, and he had to play. The schedules he played in 2013 were way harder than any other quarterback. He had to play good defenses in New Orleans twice, Carolina twice, Tampa Bay twice, and then he also had to run that gauntlet of the NFC West. He played all four of those teams. So he had to play Seattle and San Francisco and St. Louis and Arizona. So he was much better than his numbers look this year. I guess for right now, for long term, I would say Ryan. But frankly, if your choices are between Newton and Ryan, you're doing very well. We have another caller on the line. Caller, who is this and where are you from?
Hey, this is Martin from Connecticut.
How you doing, Martin?
Pretty good. I got two questions here. Detroit Lions, do you see them ever getting over the hump with getting into the playoffs?
That's a hard one. Obviously they're starting over now. And I was a big believer in Jim Schwartz, but it didn't work out there. And I understand the fan base was starting to turn on him and can't have that. But I'm not a big believer in Jim Caldwell either. I don't see him as being the guy who can turn, who can make Matthew Stafford better.
Yeah, and they only have Megatron, really.
Yeah, it's they have weapons. They're caught in purgatory having clear holes that need to be filled, but not being bad enough to get the good draft picks to fill those holes. So
and Dallas. If Jerry Jones ever decides to hang it up, do you ever see them making it into the playoffs?
Well, sure, and they probably won't. They probably won't have to wait for Jerry Jones to hang it up to get into the playoffs.
Because it seems like he's the person that's holding them back.
Well, it's probably true that there's. In fact, it's certainly true. There's no owner more involved with his team's on-field success than Jerry Jones, and so there's no one more responsible for their failures than Jerry Jones. I think that Cowboys fans, maybe they got spoiled in the mid-90s, and I realize they've been a mediocre team for the past decade, but mediocre is not bad, so they're not that far away from getting back into the playoffs. And like I had a little speech earlier, we have seen teams not much better than Dallas sneak into the playoffs, get hot, and win.
Yeah, but they always seem to mess it up right when they can get in.
That is true. They have always done that.
Like every single time, the last two games, they'll either win it or they'll lose it. And they'll break your heart in that way.
That's true. Well, I want to thank you for the call. I wish you good luck with the Cowboys in the future. I guess we got another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and jump to that caller. Who is this and where are you from?
Hey, this is Chris from Atlanta.
Chris from Atlanta. How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good, Vinny. What's going on?
Oh, just sitting here talking football.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to let you know that I really enjoyed your Twitter feed during the NFC Championship last weekend. It kind of brought some bad memories back from last year, been in the Georgia Dome watching the Falcons kind of. I liked your sense of kind of impending doom, and I'm really glad that it kind of turned out well for you in the end there, though.
Thank you. I think the key to that experience as far as me tweeting during the game, you can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at @FO_VVerhi, which is smooth and rolls right off the tongue. My key experience in one tweet was the point where I asked, is this fun for anyone? Are we entertained? Are we enjoying ourselves? Because I was just scared to hell. I would not call that a positive experience at all until the very end.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, it was the same thing last year where, you know, even in that Seahawks game at the Georgia Dome, because I was at both of the Falcons playoff games last year, you know, when Seattle took the lead and everyone's, you know, people just start leaving with less than a minute to go, and I'm like, you idiots, Matt Ryan has done this before. Like, please stay in your seats. And, you know, it turned out for the best. And then in the San Francisco game last year, the NFC Championship, people were like, oh, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. And then at the end, it's just like, was this fun? I mean, so I'm really glad that, you know, it turned out well for you. And like I said, it was fun following you. And I kind of rooted for the Seahawks mainly because of you guys up there, because I know that it would mean a lot to the region, especially after, you know, the Mariners never really been good and what happened to the Supersonics and all that. So just really kind of rooted for Seattle.
It's a pretty tortured fan base. Well, thank you for the call. I do appreciate that, and I do want to wish you well. And like I just said, you have Matt Ryan in Atlanta, so I know you had a down year, but things there's brighter days ahead. I'm not worried about that team in the long term. It's 1 o'clock, Brian. Should we stop? Are we done? I think this is a good time to wrap it up. I think 1 hour is good. My voice is starting to go. Was this a miserable failure? Why don't you chime in there? Why don't you turn your volume up?
Well, you got calls the entire time, and you got hundreds of people listening, right. So I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what you were talking about.
All right.
This could have been in Spanish.
Perfect. Yeah, I think I've had enough. Let's call it a day. Well, thanks, guys, for that little experiment. It seems to have gone well. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Let me know what I did bad and can do better, and let me know also what I did good, because I thrive on positive feedback. So, thank you all for listening, and maybe we'll see you down the line.